Tonight we're going to continue our discussion of prayer, and what we've been trying to show is that prayer is a means of enhancing spiritual growth. It's not just an exercise that we go through, but it's a means of enhancing what we really want, and that's our spiritual growth. So tonight we're going to talk about having balanced prayers. And I'm not talking about anything that's new. This is something that I'm sure you've heard before. I do think that it's important that we understand that we need a full prayer life. And there's a story in Luke, the 17th chapter, an event that's recorded for us. Can I get somebody to read Luke 17, verses 11 through 19, and think about how unbalanced the life of these people really was?
While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. They raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. He was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but the 9? Where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well."
So what do you see here? Leprosy was an awful disease, and they reasonably had a concern for being healed. But what do you see? Yeah, Bill.
Thanks.
Yeah, I agree. It's okay to make requests of Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that. And he was able to heal the 10 lepers. But you need to have balance in your life and be thankful for what God has done and give him praise for what he's done beyond just expressing your needs to God. And when we read this story, The 9 lepers that were cleansed don't really present a very attractive picture, do they? It's kind of ingratitude. Yeah, Carol.
I think maybe that they might just have gotten caught up in what Jesus said after they were healed, and that is to go to the priest and do what they say. And so they're listening to what God says, but they're forgetting the gratitude part of it. So they're thankful, but they don't think to thank him. And it's one of those things that happens to us. It's like, "Oh, I wish I would have said this." And you think about it 24 hours later or 2 hours later or 10 minutes later. You know, it's not receiving where it comes from, but you're still have the right attitude, but you're forgetting a big part.
Yeah. There's, like I say, like you have pointed out, they had to go talk to the priests. The priests had to pronounce them clean before they could come back into the camp or into the city. Otherwise, they were required to stay outside of the city, ring a bell whenever anybody got close to them, put their finger over their upper lip and shout unclean. So they had to go talk to the priests. I mean, that was what completed the whole process. That was what declared them to be unclean. Jesus healed them, but the priest declared them to be unclean because he would look at the spot, and it was the laws about how to recognize a leprous spot as opposed to just a spot are laid out in the Old Testament. They're very clear. But like you say, they had to go do this. It was not that they didn't feel gratitude. I'm sure that they did, but they didn't express it. They didn't take the time to say what they should have said. So tonight we're going to talk about having balanced prayers. And you've probably seen this acronym used when we talk about prayer, ACTS. That just stands for adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Makes some sense. It's a good way to remember what we ought to have in our prayers. How many of you are kind of guilty, like I am, of asking God for things and not thanking him for what he's done? I mean, if you participate in prayer group on Monday night, typically the requests that we make of God are a page and a half. Sometimes it's two pages. And the praise that we give to God and the thanks that we give to God for all the things that he's done together make up one page. So try as we might, we're having a hard time maintaining this kind of balance in our prayers. And I think that diminishes the opportunity for us to grow, because we're not thinking about some of the things that we should be thinking about. You know, this morning in class, in the Discovery Bible class, we read from Nehemiah 9. And the people had been sinners. They had rejected God. They had gone into Babylonian captivity. Now they're coming back under the leadership of Nehemiah. And there is this holy convocation. The people come together. They read the word. They read the commandments of the Lord for a quarter of a day. They confess their sins for a quarter of the day. And then, I guess my impression is, for the last half of the day, they recounted everything that God had done. The priest stood up and they told the story, beginning with their release from Egyptian captivity and how they had become wicked. And every time God did something for them, they followed him for a little while, and then they got complacent and they went back to their sin, and God would punish them. He would do something to get them to think about where they were, and then they'd do well for a little while. Read Nehemiah 9. It's just 37 verses, I think, but it's kind of a condensed history of everything that Israel went through. And it's not a very pretty picture. But God really wants to bless them. That's why he chastens them. And we talked about that when we were studying Hebrews. That's why he chastened them. And they just wouldn't learn. Ingratitude seems to be the general overwhelming characteristic of mankind when it comes to God. So let's see if we can't become more balanced in the way that we pray. So let's go back. Let's talk a little bit about the idea of adoration, giving praise to God, just adoring God. That's the way Jesus starts a model prayer, right? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, if you're reading from the King James translation. That's Jesus saying, This is the way you pray. And you start by giving God praise. You start by understanding who God is. And really, isn't that the key to growth? Understanding who God is, and by virtue of understanding who God is, that's the way that I understand who I am. Can somebody read Psalms 100, verses 4 and 5? And for a time, what we did was we took different psalms and we used those as the model for our praise portion of the prayers that we pray on Monday nights. That's a good way to, good approach. It's a good way to do things. We did Psalms 119. We did each one of those 8 verse sections. We used that for a praise that we were giving to God. And there's no request in those things. It's just recognizing who God is and how great he is and all the things that he's done. So somebody read Psalms 100, starting at verse 4.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Give thanks unto him and blessing his name. For Jehovah is good, his loving kindness endureth forever, and his faithfulness unto all generations.
There's something to be said for coming to God and giving him praise. Any other thoughts? Anybody else? I would just suggest, if you're having difficulty giving God praise, pray the Psalms. They're just a group of songs and prayers that David and other wise people in Israel put together. Some of them are songs. Some of them are prayers. But it's a good way to start. If you're not used to giving God praise, it's a good way to start. Carol.
Especially if you've had like a tough day, if you stop and think about all the blessings, maybe a blessing that you had, or maybe a blessing that you saw somebody else had. And these blessings all come from God, as all goodness does. So to fill up that negativity that we may have in ourselves, even if we can't say the gratitude of thanksgiving and that, it really helps.
Yeah, we'll get to Thanksgiving in a minute. Hang on to that thought. It's a very good one. Okay. This is adoring God for what he is. And I have often prayed, God, even if you did nothing for us, we would still give you glory and honor because of who you are. Even though I understand that God is going to do things for me, God wants to bless me in the worst possible way. He is deserving of praise. And I think that's why, the book of Job is in the Bible. Job had nothing to be thankful for. You know, he lost everything. He lost right down to his health. And he still gave God praise. Job asks the question, would you serve God if he didn't do anything for you? I think that's a really, really important question. And when we grapple with that, I think we become much stronger. Yeah.
But didn't Job, even though he lost everything, didn't Job know that all of those things that he'd been blessed with before he lost them were from God?
Oh, yeah.
That really strengthened his faith.
Sure. He recognized that. But when you lose, when all the blessings that you have, you know they come from God, and all of a sudden you don't have any blessings at all, it's like, what happened? And he had to answer that question. And like his, you know, his, it didn't help that his wife said, curse God and die. You'd be better off dead than you are going through all this pain that you're going through. And then his four friends come, and his four friends, the four people that should have helped him, came. And one of them said, Job, in essence, I'm not quoting, paraphrasing, he said, Job, fess up. What did you do to deserve this? And you, that's hard. I have a great deal of admiration for people who endure terrible things in their life, and their faith in God is unshaken. Every time I have correspondence with Carolyn Brown, I am just amazed at the way that she ends her correspondence. God is good. And I think of all the people in the world that approached the position that Job was in, I sometimes think Carolyn is there. I have great admiration for her. Other thoughts?
Well, I don't know that I'm an example or anything, but I start off my prayer by coming before God and telling, I bow before his might, and I give praise to he and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and for the creation and all that he's done. And then if I, at the end of my prayer, more or less, I ask him to forgive me of my sins if I have sinned, and then in Jesus' name. So that's just me.
Sure.
Over the
sure.
That I've heard.
That's a good point, Jimmy. Hang on to the idea of confession. We're going to get there as well. Okay. But I think in many ways, my prayer life becomes imbalanced in terms of adoration. I request more than I give praise. Okay. Next idea, confession. This is what Jimmy brought up. That if you go through Nehemiah 9 and you look at what the people said, they said, God, we have transgressed your ways. Our fathers, our ancestors, we ourselves, we have given up on you. We did not do what we should have done. And I think the idea of confessing our sinfulness and our own inadequacy follows from adoration. If we recognize that God is who God is, that causes us to recognize who we are. So, can I get somebody to read Isaiah 6? And I think Isaiah kind of captures in just a few words what I'm trying to say here. Isaiah 6 at verse 5. So, what do you see Isaiah doing here? Who does he recognize as holy? Yeah, it's God. God is holy, and I am a sinner. And in a way, you remember what Peter said when Jesus got into the boat? He said, get away from me. I'm a sinner. It's almost like I can't be in the presence of altogether goodness. Yeah, Carol.
The Children's New International says, I said, oh no, I will be destroyed. I am not pure. I have lived among people who are not pure, but I have seen the King, the Lord of Heaven's armies. And that really puts the emphasis on the fact that it's a matter of, look at me, I'm nothing, and I've seen the King, and I'm nothing.
Yeah, yeah. And I like that children's Bible. It's, you know, that's written with a very limited vocabulary, and they take long sentences and break them up into smaller pieces so that it's much easier to read. If you're trying to teach a youngster to read the Bible, that's an excellent translation. Don't try to teach them out of the King James, where one sentence is a page and a half, because it's too hard to understand. It, you know, I have trouble keeping track of what's happening in the sentence, but that children's Bible is, I'm just amazed at how often I read that children's Bible and I think, well, they finally got it. And that's what Isaiah recognizes. I came into the presence of the King and I recognized who I am. So it's not necessarily me beating on myself. That's not healthy. It's coming into the presence of absolute sinlessness, absolute holiness. And when you do that, it's like you see yourself in a mirror and it doesn't look very good. Other thoughts, ideas. So there's adoration, there's confession, and we could talk about a number of other passages. You know, James says, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. And we'll talk about that in the future. But at this point, I just want to fix in our minds the idea that we need to have balance in our prayers. And how having balance is what makes it possible for us to grow. I'm impressed that Isaiah said, I'm undone. And the Apostle Paul said, for those that are in Christ, there is now therefore no condemnation. We're in Christ. We can come into the presence of absolute holiness because we've been cleansed. And you know, that this, the idea of adoration and confession brings us closer to God, makes us appreciate what God has done. Eileen, do you have a comment? Okay, just making a bid.
The other thing that I try to always remember is to thank him for being a great God that he is. And then the next thing, will you please heal so-and-so if it's able? And if it's not your will, then your will be done. But always pray for, I name names, you know, but we have to remember to pray for others. We're kind of in the sideline. I think we are praying for ourselves, but we're also praying for other people who are sick or need help or is upset or whatever. So I do that next.
Sure, sure. So let's go back to Thanksgiving. Okay. We've got to keep our acronym in order here. It's easier to remember if it's ACTS. Adoration, confession, thankfulness, or thanksgiving. We ask God for a lot of things, and when he gives them to us, we don't always remember to say thank you. So one of the things that we've tried to do on Monday nights is to to recognize what God has done. We ask God for a safe journey. For like Dean and Vicky just went down to Texas. And we ask God for a safe journey and a safe return for Dean and Vicky. And then when they return, we ought to give thanks to God that he did that. And I freely admit, I'm not as good at giving thanks as I really should be. I should be more aware of the times when God has granted the request that we make. Somebody's having major surgery and we say, God, please help them to have a successful recovery. And we don't always thank God when they have the successful recovery. So this idea of giving God thanks for what he does, I think is incredibly important in terms of balance in our prayers. It's not something that we do very well. See, can somebody read Psalms 118, verse 1? You could read the whole psalm and you just get this over and over again. But can somebody read Psalms 118 at verse 1?
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Okay. Boy, it's really easy to skip over that and not realize how important it is. Other thoughts? Anybody else?
Nothing in our lives seems to be forever. So the greatness of God in that statement is so powerful, like God.
Yeah. Yeah, this, we need to be about giving thanks. And I think it's important that we give God the recognition that he really deserves. We pray, but when we don't give thanks, it's like it happened and we don't really give God the credit for it. We ask him, but we don't give him the credit. Yeah, Nolan.
It's important to recognize also that I think thanksgiving and praise are two different things. So I do try and balance balance my prayers with praise, but I realize I do it sometimes by just being able to thank, not in a sense recognizing God for his power, who he is, what he's done, but thanking him for things that he's done for me. That's something to be aware of.
Right. And I think it's important when we give thanks to be as specific about giving thanks as we are when we ask for some blessing from God. We say, John's brother-in-law has suffered a heart attack and is in bad health. And we pray and we say, God, please help Mike. Watch over him. Watch over his family and keep them anxiety free as much as they can be. And if you don't give health to Mike, at least give him freedom from pain. But then when we get to thanks, we never quite get around to thanking God as specifically as we did making requests. I've told the story before about the group that got together and had a prayer vigil when a strip club was going to open in their neighborhood. And right after it opened, the strip club burned down. And the owner of the strip club sued the group that prayed. And they said, we didn't do it. And you kind of get to the point where you say, yeah, but you asked God to do something about that strip club, and he did it. And now you don't want to take credit for asking God to do something. Yeah, Bill.
But God did it. It wasn't the people.
That's right. That's right. But you incited it. You asked God to do it. So the case was thrown out.
Yeah.
But the owner of the strip club sued, and the people who had prayed, had this prayer vigil. It was a big deal. They said, we didn't do it. I think maybe they should have said, yeah, we asked for that to happen or for something to happen. We didn't know what, but we asked for that. You're right. Other thoughts? Let's look at Ephesians 5, at verse 20. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of places we could look at Thanksgiving. Yeah, go ahead.
And I think we should thank God when something good happens to him. Don't wait to pray about it. Thank him right then and there.
Okay, that's a good point. That someone said that there are, I think it was Peter Wilson was teaching a lesson on prayer, and he said there are long prayers, and then there's little arrow prayers. A little arrow prayer is something you shoot off to God right away. Like you're driving down the freeway and a guy swerves in front of you and barely misses the front of your car. Thank God he didn't hit your car.
Exactly.
And it happens now, just in the spur of the moment. Doesn't have to be the whole litany of things that we thank God for, but when something good happens, give God thanks. Let's look at Ephesians 5 at verse 20. Somebody want to read that one?
Verse 17.
Okay.
Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And then moving to 20. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't get to question God's will. We get to give him thanks for hearing our prayers. Right? We can pray, if you don't heal, give us peace. Right? Ultimate prayer is healing. But we're praying for peace too.
Right.
Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for giving this. Ultimately, the will is yours.
Right. And you know that better than anybody. You know, that's giving God thanks for hearing us and caring about us. Okay. Not to be outdone, there is the idea of making requests. And there's nothing wrong with making requests. That's what prayer is. That's our expression to God. And we could look at all of these passages. Let's just go through the list. Somebody read Luke 11, verse 9 beginning.
So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, and to him
knocks, it will be okay. 1 Timothy 2 at verse 1.
Now we requested, brethren, with regard
to... Okay.
No,
That's not the right passage.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the commandments of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope.
I still don't think we're reading the right passage.
Sorry. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men.
Right. Somebody read 1 Timothy 5 at verse 5. Now, this is a little bit different. This is not the apostle telling Christians that this is what they ought to do. This is the apostle giving Timothy and the church, by extension, some instruction about what kind of widows they ought to take into the number to provide for these widows. So look at the description of these widows that are taken into the number.
The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help.
Okay. Look at Hebrews 5 at verse 7.
While Jesus lived on earth, he prayed to God and asked God for help. He prayed with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And his prayer was heard because he left it all up to God.
Okay. So, in terms of making requests of God, what do you see in these instructions?
Well, don't be afraid to ask.
Good point. Be afraid to ask.
We need to ask.
Okay. I really like the passage that Fay read from Luke, the 11th chapter. The one who seeks finds. If you're not asking, you're not going to have. Can somebody tell me what they think about Jesus and his prayers? What do you see in the characterization of Jesus' prayer?
It was fervent. He was crying to the one who could hear him. But it was reverent submission. And he accepted God's will.
Okay. But he did ask. He did say, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Yeah, Carol.
Well, just a little different situation, and that is God doesn't speak to us directly, but he gives us the living word. The only way that we can communicate with him is in prayer. And so when you're not filled up with God, you're having a bad day, that's when you go back to other blessings, or blessings that other people had, or blessings about somebody on the news, or blessings for the politicians, or whatever. And it's a way that God can come into our life when we feel like there's no, that he's not there. And so his words of life and doing this prayer and thinking about how powerful he is, I feel like I have no power, but there it is. God's all powerful. I have lots to be thankful for. And it just really, those living words help strengthen us, I think.
Yeah. And God giving us our requests is God speaking to us. Not with words, not like he did with Adam and Eve in the garden, walking with them in the cool of the evening, talking to them face to face. That's not it. It's not like he spoke to the prophets and gave them the words that they were going to say. But if we make requests of God, then God has an opportunity, like you say, to come into our life and to say, I care about you. Yeah, Bill.
I have a question. The book of James, that was the Lord's brother or the apostle James?
It's undetermined.
Well, in the first chapter, verses 5 through 8, if you take a look at that, it's a prayer instruction. And it starts out asking, speaking about wisdom, but I'm curious if that only comes.
Well, there's some debate about whether it's only about wisdom or if the same principle applies across the board.
But it tells us when we pray, don't doubt, expect an answer.
Yes.
And I think too often our prayers equivocate. If you don't want it this way, will you do it? That's doubting to me.
Yeah, that
we should ask for the spine of the fact.
I think that's a good way to say it. Tim keeps reminding me that when I pray to God, I am not praying as his advisor. He doesn't need me to tell him what would be best. I can express what I want, but I have to leave it up to him. So we are not co-equals in the whole process, but God will grant. Yeah, Carol.
I think that's the crux of it. I tell him what I want. That's not what we need to do. We tell him what our problem is. When you tell him what you want, you're looking for a particular answer. And you need to just tell him what the problem is and leave it to him to how he's going to solve it, because it's his answer.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah, Andrew.
He then says, my father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, that not as I will, but as you will. Now, like we're saying now, it's his will. It can't be, when we're asking for things, we're not demanding it of him to, fix this. We're asking to fix these problems. If not, then you bring me peace. And when we're asking, we got to realize that we may have this mindset of, this is how I want it to be fixed, and I'm going to ask for it. But we got to remember that God may fix it in a different way than we thought it would be, but he knows what we truly need. He knows our hearts, and he knows how to properly fix this. So we may think, oh, I'm asking for patience, but he's making me become patient in a different way than I thought.
Yeah, had a plaque on my wall for a while that said, when you pray for patience, be careful what you ask for, because God will find a way to give you patience. You may not enjoy the way that God gives you patience, like Andrew said, but we should pray for patience. Okay, well, I think the point that I'm trying to make tonight is that prayer is a multifaceted kind of thing. And we need to balance adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and requests or supplications. That's just a big word. It fits with the acronym better than requests. But, the supplication is not a word that we ever use. So you can remember it as requests.